Survivor Specialists are back, and the Survivor 46 premiere is done. It's in the books. Congratulations to everybody except for Jelinski, who made it. Also, everybody everybody who stayed up this late, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This will not be the case every week. You're probably looking at this video right now going, where the hell is Will? Well, Will is like in a situation work related right now, and he cannot be here, which is why I knew it was going to be 1:15 a.m. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I was also at a watch party, so I've had more beverages than I generally have before doing one of these podcasts. I'm super excited. Blake, who literally showed up just to do the fantasy draft with us a couple days ago, is now here, and he's ready to go premiere night. Everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be making fun of him, calling him names, ready to go. If you're pissed at us for showing up late, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, I'm not going to listen to Phil, I'm not going to listen to Blake, I'm already tired of their bullshit. Well, before we even start talking about Survivor 46, I am just going to move directly into this right now, and I'm going to tell you who our guest is for Sunday so that you will all like us, so that you will keep going and listen to this damn podcast, okay? You guys ready? Here it is. Boom. I got to take Blake and I off the screen for a second, so hopefully this doesn't ruin the entire podcast. Here we go. Boom. There's the image. All right. Everybody saw it, right?
What a get.
Now it's still in the
Cassidy
background.
Cassidy so Clark for the audio listeners that are
it's
going to
be Cassidy. Cassidy's going to be our guest on Sunday. What date is that? March 3rd. She will be 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I wanted to throw that out there right away so you could all get stoked. We've never had Cassidy on the podcast before. Super excited to have Cassidy on. Really pumped. We're going to finish out the final three now for Survivor 43. Will be back for that podcast. But Blake, you have just been dumped into this right now. You've never done a recap podcast with us before.
I haven't even watched one. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't even know who the hell we are. I am so excited for this. One, because the Purple Tribe, which you had four people from your fantasy team, you had four of them and they lost. And you didn't somehow out of the four, you didn't have Jelinski, and that was Will's guy. So I'm coming into this super hot, super ready to go. What did you think overall of the 2 hours that we just watched tonight?
Honestly, that was a crazy 2 hours. It felt like this is just a backlog of people in casting of who are the wild cards that haven't gotten on in the last 5 years. Let's put them all on the same season. Let's drive. Which one are the two people that would be driven crazy the most? Put them on the season two and just let them go wild. And Jelinski felt like it was literally one of the biggest burnouts, flameouts, or whatever. Like, I think he's going to be compared to Zane for the rest of his life from the Philippines, mm-hmm. where it's like, everything you're saying, but is just not true. Like, do you believe this? Are you aware that nothing you're saying makes sense? And like, ultimately seeing him go home, there's like no way that he could possibly go forward in the game in any permutation of like, oh, you when they were like, oh, we lost it on the puzzle, it's like, bro, you guys lost it like 35 minutes ago trying to drag that gecko. And just the whole time he's like, I don't ever really talk in through. I don't know if everyone has to get their Jelinski voice or if that is bad to people that talk like Andre the Giant.
But it
is like, oh, I don't even talk in the third person normally. I'm a legend. And you're like, how are you calling yourself a legend on day two? And you get unanimously voted out.
Unanimously.
The other person cannot even talk. Their brain is gone. And they're like, no, we're going to keep him over. We're going to keep Jess over you. Too bad. So sad.
Yeah, so we got Isaac over here. He Jelinski'd himself out of the game. I like that. Now Jelinski is a verb. Jelinski is a coach. Yes. This is from Anderson Frazier. Jelinski is a coach Zane Drew Christie hybrid. I agree a little bit with that, although coach went far every time he played. Yeah. And then we have I Am Connor, who said at least we didn't have to wait seven roll hours. What was the deal with this several and seven thing? Do you have any idea?
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst part about it is like, even if it's 7 hours, there's two of you and you have 4 hours. That's 8 hours of manpower. Like, no matter how you slice it, Jelinski's wrong again.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no benefit of the doubt for him.
I'm going to say this, okay? Because this guy's getting roasted on social media. And I do want to say this.
He's a person too.
Name a more entertaining first boot.
Probably there's five, but out of 46 seasons, if you're sixth place, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And that's kind of where I'm thinking, right? The edit on him was so brutal. I mean, it was devastating. And like I had tweeted out, was this the worst first boot edit we've had since Holy Peter? And I honestly think those are the two worst first boot edits we've ever seen in Survivor history. Because the thing is, when you start to think about somebody like Zane, right? Zane was one of those guys where it was like, whoa, he's playing hard. He just totally overplayed and did whatever. When you think about Francesca, who got voted out first twice, you can say, okay, she just didn't have it. And the second time, she's going to eat the rock. The second time, it was kind of mean-spirited. But for Jelinski, they showed like no positives of this guy. And I feel really bad for him. But it was super entertaining. So that's the first thing I will say. It was very entertaining. And I also think like, Jelinski's 22 years old. He's got his whole life ahead of him. He's living in Vegas. He's a slot machine salesman. He's going to be fine. That doesn't mean sit here and roast this guy to death. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that this guy is going to learn from this. He's going to grow from this. What all those things you want to say, go look at Darnell Hamilton, who was the first boot of Survivor Season 32, Ko Rong, back when we used to give them names. And look at that guy now compared to what he was in Ko Rong. It's not the same guy. Right. You learn as you get older. Like, that's just a fact. If I would have played Survivor at 22, I probably would do better than I would now 10 years later, because I'd probably be much more of like a self-confident asshole now. But when you think about this, Jelinski is going to grow. He's going to learn. He's going to have a fine life. He still got to play Survivor. And you know what? If what you're remembered for is being the biggest flame out in Survivor history and first boot, good for you, dude. You're going to be remembered.
Or he doesn't learn a damn thing. And I think that's also half possibility of, if somehow he gets his Francesca way back on here, or like goes on it's so funny to watch him lose. Let's go on Traitors or something. He'll lose first on that too. Of like, how can anyone? Like, if you're Jelinski's best friend, you have a best man speech. You've got scoreboard for the rest of your life. Of any time Jelinski goes, I'm sure I could run 5 yards in the NFL. It can't be that hard. Bro, you couldn't even bring a bucket up the beach 10 times before you go, oh, I cut my foot. It's done for me. And you're like what's weird too is, because the new era of Survivor doesn't even let you have a day to get to know people, Jelinski probably can make it through the first 9 days of any other pre-40 season. Mm-hmm. But because it's like day one beach stuff, there's already a challenge. You're already muddy. And now when you get back from the mud, you got to keep going and you got to do this and you cut your foot and now you're negative. And like, there's just a certain personality that has no shot in the new era to get through that first couple episodes.
Yeah, I am Connor says, Probst just said he's not interested in giving us villains and immediately gave us Jelinski, and Darnell is massive now. Like, that's what kind of made me laugh, right? Jeff Probst just went on RHAP and said to Rob, villains not as long as I'm part of the show. And then the first episode after he said that, we get arguably one of the biggest villain edits. And I know he didn't do anything. He's not Ben from Survivor Samoa, who's like kicking people. He's not Shannon from Survivor Nicaragua, who's racist. But this is a guy who comes out here, plays the game, and they are not giving redeeming qualities. It was so interesting to see how hard they went in on him. And I was at a watch party for this, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it. And everybody around was like, oh my God, this guy is getting roasted. Like, they didn't use the word roasted. That's the word I'm using. But everybody was kind of shocked at how much the edit was going in on this guy. And look, part of this is real. A lot of this is real. Okay. Like, he is what he is. Jelinski is Jelinski. Like, what are you going to do? However,
I would vote him out of a doctor's office if we were stuck in there together. I'd get him out of an elevator if I was in an elevator with him. Of course you vote him out of a tribe.
This was a brutal, 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 brutal edit. And it's, were you surprised that Yanu struggled as much as they did? Because they didn't just suck in the second challenge. They were bad at the first challenge, too. Are you surprised that this tribe that we all thought was going to be the strong tribe comes out there and gets smoked in both challenges?
So I don't do preseason stuff, but I listened to my Phil and Will Survivor Specialist when they told me Purple Tribe's going to be one of the strongest ones. I don't think they'll lose more than once during the whole pre-merge. So I was completely blindsided by that fact. And like, it was so crazy of watching the Orange Tribe just crush everyone, where it was like, they just flipped entire, like, if that was the narrative of these two tribes, they just flipped narrative on this. So it was something where the other thing that blew my mind, actually, like as we're going about this, because I want to say this about Banu is like breaking down after they lose that second time and says all this beautiful stuff from the heart. And like Jeff pulls the biggest villain move and goes, all right, get out of here. And I was just like, you don't even say like, oh, that does suck, Banu. Hopefully you guys will figure it out on that beach. It's just like, all right, get out of here. And it's just like, what is going on, guys? But yeah, I was led to believe that Purple was going to be super strong, and they don't have strength and they can't do a puzzle. So what are they going to do?
Yeah, this is starting to look like the Disaster Tribe, and Shadow the Cat 99 or Alan, either one. Before I go, I really hope Jess finds a footing in the game. She was my preseason winner pick. Were you surprised they booted Jelinski over Jess, considering Jess was really, really, really having a hard time out there, even more so? Like, Jelinski, we'll talk about the journey. We'll talk about the challenge, the opening challenge and all that. But when it just comes down to writing down names, my first question is, are you surprised they voted Jelinski over Jess? My second question is, are you surprised that Kenzie, the smallest girl on the tribe, smallest woman on the tribe, I get yelled at for calling everybody in the traders girls, the smallest woman on the tribe, are you surprised that she was the one who was saying, we need strength, let's keep Jelinski?
I think she was trying to do her, I really like this four that we have, and I'm just going to say whatever I can to Banu to get him on, because maybe we don't have enough votes if Banu's not on board. So I wasn't too surprised of like, girl, if you do this, you may be next. Like that is some line of thinking when you're just chilling watching. But like the thing that blew my mind was, okay, how did Jelinski go over Jess? And I think it came down to the journey of it was irreconcilable of, why do you care about two people's votes on the other tribe and what they think of you instead of the five votes here and what we think of you? And now all five of us are at a disadvantage. All six of us are at a disadvantage because if there is a merge, if there is a swap, your bad decision in round one is going to backfire on us in round three, maybe round seven, or maybe the pivotal round of final seven when we put all this work in and 14 days of playing extremely well, and now we lose because Jelinski did something dumb on day two because he was pushed further than, can you lie to one person?
Yeah.
And I think Jelinski is getting such a dogpile edit from our editors because this is kind of like the second half of the Brandon Donlan edit of, are you a Gen Z person who says, and we did boomers and Gen X, and now Gen X and millennials. And now it's, I'm 35 as a millennial. I'm not 35, 34. I'm 34 and a half as a millennial. And now I have to make fun of the next generation. It's just a rite of passage for Survivor contestants or Survivor watchers, where the Gen Z people that are like, I can do anything. I can go do that. I'm super excited. That works for someone who's put in all the effort, like Carson. That works for somebody who put in all the effort. 41 third place person who you're going to tell me his name right now. Cause I,
no, I'm just going to let this hang. It's
okay.
Xander.
Great. Xander. And so, but now this is the other side of that coin of, I don't think Jelinski did all the hard work or put all the effort in that moment and just thinks like, but I'll be fine because it's the early game. We care about strength, but you have to put all the effort behind it. And if you say all these empty promises and then we call you out and you stub your toe, and you don't go, don't worry, I'll work twice as hard next time. But you say that, and then you stub your toe a second time.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I promise you that'll be the last time I quit. Like, it was so embarrassing watching that tribal council where he's like, I will not quit. And people are like, let us remind you, you have quit twice. And he's like, but I will not quit again. And I'm not a quitter. And they're like, let us remind you.
You have now, quit twice. In that first one, did he quit or was he just making amends for the tragedy against Danny McRae? And he was just making up for Danny McRae and what happened to him and Sydney and all of that. Was he just doing that?
Jelinski did say my favorite player of all time is Danny McRae, and I want to do his past misgivings. So yeah. I think you're onto something for sure.
Okay. I want to talk about the challenge when we get to the challenge, and like we'll bounce around a little bit here. Yeah. So I do, like, it's hard because this was a long episode. It was 2 hours. I heard probably 65% of it. If you go follow us on Instagram, which you should do, and also if you made it this far into the video, please like the video. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. We've been doing a lot more content. We covered the traders. We covered the trust earlier. We are now covering
Deal or No Deal Island.
Boston Rob is entertaining, so I'm going to watch it and see what happens. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're putting out a bunch of content all the time. But if you follow us on Instagram, I took a picture of the back of somebody's head, which was pretty much my view the entire time. It was a former Survivor player. I don't know if I'm supposed to say who it was, so I won't. But if you go find it on Instagram, you'll be able to see it. It was the back of their skull for a little bit. And it was hard to hear. The subtitles weren't on for the beginning portion. So there's a lot to cover in this episode. I want to make sure we do. We're starting with this purple tribe. So let's stay with the purple tribe. Let's go tribe to tribe. And then let's bounce over to the twists, the different things, and the challenges, and all that fun stuff.
We're doing everything tonight?
Yeah, Blake, this is going to be a 6.5 hour podcast. So I hope you have plenty of time in front of you.
Shoot.
You're not kidding. Oh, shoot. Okay. Anderson Frazier says it looked like seafood to me. I can neither confirm nor deny this allegation. Okay. I do live in Miami, though, if that's going to help anybody. Banu, Jess, Kenzie, Q, Tiffany. They all voted together and Jelinski went home. Now, Tiffany did end up getting her vote, even though it was looking like she wasn't going to. Tiffany was my winner pick before the season began. It was originally Hunter. Every single person in the world picked Hunter. Rob Cesternino picked Hunter. His wife picked Hunter. Nicole Cesternino. I just wanted to emphasize his wife. A lot of people are all over Hunter. A lot of people are also over Tiffany. Tiffany had a really good episode tonight. Tiffany ended up finding a hidden immunity idol. What did you think about the way this went down? It seemed like wherever Tiffany went, there was this little creature behind named Kenzie that was following her everywhere she went. And it was like, no matter where Tiffany was, Tiffany found the clue. Kenzie was right behind her. It was that weird, whatever that animated show is, it Recess or something, where the kid's always just like appearing right over their shoulder. That was Kenzie. When she found the idol, Kenzie was right there. So Tiffany could not get away from Kenzie. Not that she was necessarily trying to, but it seems like Kenzie is really in. And I know a lot of people before the season began were comparing Kenzie to Carolyn and that archetype. I get more Marianne vibes for sure from Kenzie. There's game to what she's doing. I'm not saying there wasn't game to Carolyn, but I think Kenzie realizes what her game is a lot. But Tiffany's the one who has the idol. What did you think about this idol situation of finding the lockbox, then needing to lose an immunity challenge to get the key and then progress with everything? How did you feel about this?
I think it's interesting. There's two layers here of, hey, you found the beware and then you ran away. Well, I hope you fucking, I hope you remember where it is. Because you got to go way right back there. And it is an oh crap moment because I don't remember where I put it. And it's like, okay, that was a split second where it's like, that'd be hilarious if you just didn't have the beware advantage the whole time because I don't remember where it was. But obviously you could go dig piece by piece if you couldn't remember. It's probably burned into your brain forever as soon as you find an idle clue, like, oh, I remember it for the rest of my life. But like seeing that and then like now go back. Here's a box. How do you hide the box? You have to like dig back in there and leave it there forever. But the one thing that was kind of rough for me was now we're giving an incentive for you to lose. There is a production incentive of if you want this idol, you're going to have to lose before the merge. If you want your idol back, you're going to have to lose before the merge. And I think I've always been on the side of, yes, give your players the onus to go, I want to throw the challenge. I am Ozzy, but I want to vote out Billy tonight. It doesn't make sense for me to take Billy any further. Let's just throw a challenge. Maybe other people will look at us less threatening. But now there's
a pronouncement of JP, Blake. Come on.
I'm talking about the first one, dude. Billy was coming out. Maybe you're right. But production can say to you, it's better for you if you really want it, lose a challenge, which gets, it's like a, not a slippery slope, but like that's going to be three decisions for three separate people. And I don't think Tiffany really had a chance either way of we were going to lose that challenge, whether I threw it or not. But part of me wonders, has somebody from the other two tribes found the box already, but we're not going to show it to you because it didn't matter because they didn't lose the challenge. Mm-hmm. Or like all of that becomes like, now I'm thinking about production instead of watching the show. Now I'm like, is that an interference? Is that a, no, we always present our people with options no matter what. And it's completely out of our hands. But that does feel like the first time where, hey, winky face, you should lose a challenge because it would be better for you. And like, you're supposed to always want to win immunity no matter what. Mm-hmm. The only way you wouldn't win immunity is to lower your threat level, blah, 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 blah. But like, you never get a bonus for losing.
I do think in this instance, though, if you lose, I'm pretty sure that you'd end up getting her vote back at the merge. So if you don't ever lose, it doesn't matter that you lost your vote and everything like that. Now, granted, you still want to end up getting the idol in your hands, but I'm pretty sure she would get her vote back at the merge if her team or her tribe never lost. So I don't think it's as big of a deal necessarily, but I do understand what you're saying. Anything that incentivizes people to lose, it's the same thing as the hourglass twist. The incentive was you want to be one of the people sitting out because then you have the chance to change the game. So that's definitely a little problematic, but I do think it ultimately ended up working out. Tiffany has the idol. Everybody ended up voting together. The biggest shock from this tribe, though, and then we can move over to another tribe because I know that there are 12 other people on this
and
island.
I didn't answer the question. Tiffany's a strong leader, and I think she... If you were rooting for her and hoping she had a good episode, you were feeling great today. I know people aren't all betting all the time, and some people just watch the show to have fun. But Tiffany feels like a strong person who will be a decisive vote and decisive voice for her tribe of, I'm not going to go against Tiffany anytime soon. I don't think she'll get taken out pre-merge because it's final 15 and we had to make a move. I think she's in it for the long haul.
Yeah. So this is the biggest surprise to me from that tribe. Tiffany had 9 confessionals, tied for the most in the episode with Banu. Banu was eating up the screen. And I know we had talked about, you know, a lot of times, like when somebody, they're an immigrant from India, or from when we saw it with Ty, from what he was from Vietnam, I believe, or something, but wherever it is, you generally see that person struggle to get some screen time. Banu was killing it. Banu was great. Now, is Banu somebody who I think can win the game? Not necessarily. Banu had a big episode. And when you're looking at who were the stars of this episode, to me, it's Banu, it's Tiffany, it's Jelinski, but Jelinski's gone. It's Tevin, and it was probably Charlie. And maybe you throw in Kenzie in there because Kenzie had some long confessionals that were drawn out. But those are kind of your stars of all of this. And so for Banu to be getting as many confessionals as he did in the first episode and really get a lot of good screen time, have an incredible moment at the tribal council where it was, so what do you think about whatever Jeff said about Jelinski? And he said, is it time to vote? That was amazing. It was just blatantly, yes, I am voting for Jelinski. I was a big fan of the dynamic of this tribe. I am curious to see if the women end up sticking together to vote out Q and Banu next, or if Jess is a sitting duck. Tiffany and Kenzie are in phenomenal position, though. And Banu, if he goes home early, he's getting the Sabaya-type edit where he's just going to be in there for a long time. He's going to be getting a lot of screen time.
I think there was a third person tied for the most confessionals that you forgot about called Elspeth, the brand new show starting tomorrow on CBS, a detective that finds things that other people miss, which is a brand new genre. And it was very interesting seeing her story as well.
Are we shamelessly plugging now? Because I got two things to plug, because this is a new era of the Survivor Specialist. So I want to make sure we can do this all right now. So in this offseason, in Survivor Season 46, we did partner with Adam Klein. So yes, Adam Klein, the casting coach who has been helping people with their videos, right? So we have partnered with Adam. What?
Did he get Jelinski on this season?
I have no idea. I don't know if
Jelinski
he helped
was
anybody.
His, for sure.
I don't know if he helped anybody. I'm not saying anything. All I am saying is that if you are struggling to get started with trying to make a video, look, there's no guarantees that this is going to help you get on the show or anything like that. But if you're struggling, you don't know where to start, Adam's biggest thing is helping people go along and actually show, don't tell. Because everybody says show, don't tell, but he actually wants to help you understand what that means. He wants to help you understand what it means to be yourself, and he wants to help you understand what it means to give 110% energy. So if you're interested in that, go ahead in the description of our video, Adam Klein, we put his link in there. Go ahead and click that and see if that is going to work for you. In addition, we have also partnered with Idle Plays, and you can get a sick playing card of me in a suit playing chess. I think you can't really tell that I'm playing chess, but Idle Plays, who makes puzzles, this is Russell Muscle TV, who we did our whole Survivor Second Chances 2 thing with. Go ahead and check out the link below, and there's an affiliate link associated with that. When you're going with Adam, you just have to tell them, hey, I'm with the Specialist. But when it comes to Idle Plays, there's actually a link that you can click. It's in the description of the video. There's a bundle that is the Specialist bundle, so check that one out and see if it's something you're interested in. If you want Survivor puzzles, I have one. It ended up falling over, and then my wife made me put it away because she was tired of our dog trying to pick up the pieces. So, but if you're interested in making the puzzle, I had the fire one and it took me way too long. So Idle Plays, the links are
so easy on TV, doesn't it, Phil?
Dude, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier on TV because I'm not doing it. Let's move on to some other tribes, and let's talk about other tribes before we start talking about everything else. I want to start with the Nami tribe. Everybody was thinking this was going to be the disaster tribe. No matter how much we loved Hunter. Yeah, this is orange. No matter how much we loved Hunter, no matter how much Blake loved Tevin by picking him first. I think my screen just froze. Now I got to figure out my camera. So hold up. No matter how much he did all of that, this was still the tribe everybody thought was going to lose. And then they didn't. There we go.
And I think it comes down to Soda is not who you thought she was. Soda may be annoying, but she's going to beat your ass in a challenge. And it was like, and may be annoying to some people. Some people could go, no, I love Soda. That she's one of the most amazing people on this season. And I get that viewpoint too. It was interesting seeing her like clap along whenever somebody's doing something. And I'm like, I would hate that if I dropped a bunch of firewood and someone said, good job, Blake. I would be like, could you pick up some firewood, please? But like, maybe that's why I go home in 15th place instead of 10th. I didn't watch the preview for next episode. So if there's something where Soda blows it in that, I had to drive here from 10 minutes away real quick. So I didn't get to see that. But like, Soda is not a first boot. Soda is not a second boot. Soda is someone you don't want to mess with. And I thought it was interesting of Soda's getting information about Venus. And instead of immediately going like, well, I guess Venus is first boot, she goes, no, I'm going to go add another layer to this of Venus. You can listen to me. You can believe me. We have a rat here. And his name's Rainer.
No, I totally agree with you. I am Connor. Soda taking the immunity out of Venus's hands made me chuckle. She's leading this tribe. That was great. Tomo Dugan says preview showed Soda afraid of butterflies. First episode, she makes fire immediately. Hopefully my camera keeps working now. But yeah, she made fire immediately. She's legit. Like, she is legit. Also, Venus, who I picked, if you go look at my boot order prediction, I picked her as the first boot of the season. She is not the first boot of the season. And I think it's going to be fun to watch Venus. There's a literal shot of Venus walking in a spider web with a Black Widow spider in the spider web. While she's talking about how everybody thinks
I thought
she's
she was going to run into it. And I was like, that would be, you win an Emmy for cinematography if you get that. Like, great job.
It's great. It's just great. So Venus and Soda are much better than I anticipated. I think Randon's in the most trouble over there. I like Tevin and Hunter with this whole Andy Griffith Show.
That was insane. Okay.
You like the Andy Griffith Show, Blake? I mean, that was around your time, right? Would you say you were 34?
Here we go. So some backstory. I'm somewhat negative. I'm somewhat sarcastic. And watching the Andy Griffith, for all the people that say, I thought that was pretty cool what they're doing with the editing of putting it in black and white and making it TV, I'm going to be the opposite side of that. Of how am I going to say, no, Survivor's better than ever. In season 46, you got to watch it. It's so cool. Like, Survivor's going from being a relatable show to like, is this a guilty pleasure now of, I can't recommend this to a hot guy of like, you want to come over and watch Survivor with me? And then it's like Andy Griffith TV.
What about Sodar? You didn't like Sodar?
And the Sodar happened, the and you're like, is this for the kids of the show? Because Andy Griffith is not a kid. Like, they have no idea what's going on here. And like, I don't know if anybody's watching Survivor for snappy editing graphics, for that type of thing. Like, show us more people, interpersonal things. Don't show us, you remember that one show, Andy Griffith? Well, here's, we got a treat for you. We're going to make it in black and white for 2 minutes. And that was like, not great. But Survivin, now that's something I can get behind because I'm a pun guy. So wordplay, great. Video, like,
well, Survivin is the green tribe. We haven't gotten a Sega yet.
Okay,
I will
okay.
Say,
well,
when
I just
when they did the black and white, everybody at the premiere party I was at very much enjoyed that. Everybody enjoyed that. Yes. So, you know, you're on the outs here, man. I'm sorry. I enjoyed that. I thought the Sodar thing was funny. What my feeling was is Survivor's actually, the editors are actually trying to make a fun show again, which is good. And it might not be the fun that it used to be, but if you think about season three of Survivor, right? That was a fun season. We're doing this for our Patreon right now, for our Every Season Matters, for our top tier patrons. We've been going, we do 8 episodes for each season. And right now we're on Africa and we are doing our Africa rewatch now. And it's so much fun. There's a lot of fun stuff in there. Even if the fun is really like they're suffering, they're having to dig the water out of elephant shit and they're dealing with all that stuff and it's the rewards and whatever. This felt like their version, the new era's version of being able to have some fun. And the editors are doing it. They're not taking it so seriously. And honestly, man, if you're trying to appeal to Gen Z, I think that's probably your best avenue at this point.
And this is where your I never watch Big Brother is showing, because this is a very Big Brother tactic. And somebody bringing this up of, the Sodar edit was a little too Big Brother for my liking is a, oh, that makes sense. Big Brother and Survivor are completely different shows, completely different cast, completely different everything. Where like, oh, I'm going to watch somebody do a prayer circle and we're going to do the like ayahuasca thing. That's such a Big Brother thing. And we've watched 1500 yoga sessions on Survivor of one person going in the corner being like, I guess I'm going to have to downward dog or I'm going to be out of here next tribal. And like, those are two different shows and two different ways to show those information. So it is a little bit of like, is there a Big Brother editor here? And now Jeff in his, I'm 60 years old and I want positive stuff happening all the time, thinks that, oh yeah, Andy Griffith, a touchstone for everyone watching this episode, they'll love this. And it's like,
yeah, no, I think it's more of, I think what's funny about it, I think what makes it unique is that it is so random. I watch TV Land all the time. My wife and I will throw on the Sunday morning cartoons. We'll throw on the Saturday morning cartoons. I'll throw on friggin' whatever, the Gunsmoke, you know, whenever that's like randomly, whatever. I've never seen an episode of the Andy Griffith Show. I know that that's where Ron Howard got his start. I know that's where Opie is from, you know, which I'm pretty sure is Ron Howard. But like, I've never seen an episode of that. Don Knotts is on that, I think, or maybe I'm thinking of Green Acres.
Seems like
I don't
you've
know.
Seen every episode, Mike.
I like TV. I know old stuff. Maybe I know it. Maybe I don't. But it just felt fun, and I think that it is. I just think that it's interesting to see.
Let's have fun. I screwed it up.
Tevin and Hunter, two guys who, one's from Mississippi and is a school teacher. The other, I don't know where Tevin's from, but Tevin is an actor. These are two guys who probably shouldn't get along. And then they have the Andy Griffith Alliance. And it kind of reminded me of everything that happened during David versus Goliath, where you're getting all those random ass alliances between Nick and whoever else was out there. and it was building those alliances off of stuff that really shouldn't have built alliances. I also like, and I lost where the comment is now. I wish I could find it. But somebody said Hunter's one of my favorites because I like how relatable he was because the singing is annoying and he didn't want to listen to it. That's amazing. We're on a season where you have a guy, Ben, who says, the only thing, my personality essentially is my guitar. That's what I like. And it's great. I'm all about that. But I also like to have the juxtaposition to that of a guy who just says, I work in a school. I hate this part of all of that. I work summer camps. I don't want to deal with this portion. That's fun. And I like that Hunter fit in because of that, not that he was an outcast because of that.
Right. And one thing that blew my mind while I was watching this episode, because we've had commercial breaks, we're doing another story, another tribe with another story. Is this the most day one content episode minute wise of all time? Like, I think the whole first hour was day one stuff. And people were talking about, have you talked strategy yet? And I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting question to ask on day two. And then it said day one in the bottom left later on. I was like, oh my God, that was another day one conversation. And both of those two tribes had people lose the challenge where they're not getting supplies. And then like minute 55, we're knocking coconuts on rocks. Like we're the most evolved form of monkeys here. And it's like, we need to get to the coconut milk. We have no tools. What are we going to do? It was just insane to me of like, that whole first hour, if you crave day one content, this is the season for you.
They went in on it. And we saw a lot of alliance building. We saw the 3-3s. And it's funny that it was kind of going along men versus women almost everywhere. And then it was, okay, who's going to break that tie for us?
Jelinski is when he gives the girls and guys extra votes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
We're going to get there eventually. What did you think about Liz in the water talking about the four different businesses she's built and all of that? And did you think that was a bad move for her? Did you think that was kind of tone deaf? What did you think?
I think it's honestly refreshing of like, how many other times has somebody said, I have four businesses, but I'm not going to tell everyone. I'm going to tell them I'm a consultant for a grocery store. And you're like, when you lie about stuff like that, you're not your true self. When you lie about stuff like that, people go, is that it? Is there something else I'm missing? And if somebody else does the thought process of, if she can manage four businesses and sell two of them and make millions of dollars, she can help run this tribe. Maybe I put her in a leadership position and I'll shut up and listen to her and coast through the first part of this game. If Liz is going to talk during a challenge, I should probably listen to her. She has a lot of experience, maybe managing people. That's what I'm just taking about from I'm a business owner four time. Managering people. And it's like, oh, for every positive, there's negatives. Like, and it comes down, do you like Liz? Well, if I like Liz and Liz tells me this, I'm going to take this positively. And maybe Tevin hasn't really connected with her just yet. So we do have the confessional of, I'm here for money. I don't know what you're here for. You already have money based on what I know. So I'm probably not going to help you get forward in this game because we don't have the same skin in the game here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think? So overall, we talked about pretty much everybody from this tribe. What's your overall takeaway from this group of six?
Poor Randon. He is getting lost in the shuffle. I think it's a pretty, like, there's at least three people on this that could have been first boots on other seasons. So it does feel like this is kind of this could have been a train wreck tribe, but it worked out for them in the first challenge. I think when they're winning, they're going to be cruising, but that first vote is going to really, I think there'll be some petty people after it of, you've been talking to everyone here saying, I'm going to be your final two alliance. And then that first vote is going to splinter them right down the middle. Cause I don't see that being unanimous at all. And I'm interested to watch them go to a tribal and what the aftermath will be. I think whoever gets the idol there, it should be someone in power, because if a person who's on the outside gets an idol, I think that would be the only way that tribe blows up before the merge.
Yeah, it seems like Tevin and Hunter are the ones in control. It seems like Venus is in maybe a little bit of trouble, but it seems like she can work her way out of it. Seems like Soda's in an okay spot. It seems like Randon and Liz are probably in the worst spots right now. But Tevin, to me, after that first episode, he feels like he is the main character of this season, whether he wins or not. It feels like that's where this is going. And that was Blake's first pick, because Blake's favorite website is SurvivorSpoilers.com.
No, it's Grindr.com, and he's gay, just like me. No, for real. And I think we could just give that to Tevin, but I think he earned it over these two hours of just every time Tevin was on, he's saying something in a very interesting way. I don't think there's been a person who's expressed themselves the same way that he has. I think you could be like, actor, roll your eyes. We don't put actors on TV anymore. This was a thing we would do in 2001 through 2009, probably. We did the Mactor part of it, of model actor was on every season of all three of the major CBS shows. And it became a thing where it's a very negative when another Mactor is on. So why is Tevin the first actor in 10 years or 15 seasons or whatever the last actor was? Because I think he's too good to miss out on. And he has, over these first 2 hours, showed why we're looking the other way and casting an actor on this season of Survivor.
Yeah, I really liked Tevin. I think he really landed. I wasn't 100% sure, but I think he landed, and he was a little bit different than I expected him to be. And we'll actually get to the main twist, you know, because I mean, we don't want to go much longer than an hour here, but we will get to that main twist. Jake McKay says it, surviving. So it's time, surviving. We're going to the Green Tribe. Finally, they are vibing. This is the vibe tribe. We have Ben, who is just talking about good vibes, wanting to do good things. We're going to rock. He's getting along with everybody. We have Jem, who is leaning into it really hard. We have Charlie, who wants to get along with everybody. We have Maria, who doesn't want to play the mom and then play the mom. We have Mariah, who is a little bit concerned about how she was, you know, how she's going to interact with these people, but she thinks she can pull it off. And then we have Tim, who pretty much got dragged
on first. Over the coals.
I think, Tim, this was Will's winner pick, so if you're wondering why he has a crown in this, poor Tim, man. This guy comes out, and it was like, hey, when women get together, it's dangerous. I have a wife and I have a grandma, but women are scary when they get together. And if it wasn't for Jelinski, Tim would have gotten the worst edit of this episode.
Right.
This guy, oh man, this was a brutal, 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 brutal edit for poor Tim, which made me happy because it was Will's winner pick, but it sucks for Tim because it feels like this is the vibe tribe. And I don't think Tim's a bad guy. I think it was just whatever he was saying, it was just coming across a little like, ooh,
and it's
okay.
Kind of in poor taste because the last two seasons, I think, didn't women go home back to back to back to back to back to start 44 at least? Like, what happened in 45? Was it women back to back to back?
I just remember D1 45.
Oh, yeah, that's all I remember at this point. So, last time it was, oh, we forgot about Brent. Okay, so maybe there's the last two seasons.
And Hannah
that
quit.
We won.
So, I mean, I guess Emily would have went home, but still.
Yeah. So, if we do, I'm saying the right thing, I'm just saying it in the wrong order. So, the last two seasons that Tim could have seen, four women went home first. So what is Tim talking about?
he's worried about a Parvati thing, just like everybody's always compared somebody to Parvati.
I think the big winners of this tribe though were Charlie for sure. Doesn't feel Charlie's gonna have any problem. So if you're rolling his eyes at his Swiftie comments, get ready because he's gonna do them all season long. And then
rocking Ben's jacket all day. That's what.
And
I
it felt like Maria is a clear standout, which I did not expect at all, because I didn't pay attention to pre stuff. But she seems like, not only am I a mom. That was an interesting, like, okay, why do we have to do this for every woman over a certain age? Like, could we do this without a mom thing once? But
could we one time get a 55-year-old woman who doesn't have kids on Survivor?
I'm sure there's like five that we could literally go without trying. But like, what I was impressed with her was, I'm going to turn every possible negative into a positive of, and just, she owned that twist so bad when we get there that like, well, that's clearly how, if this ever shows up on Survivor, the person who gets the torch card is always going to do that.
Well, and since this was, I was kind of saving this try for last purposely for this reason. So we're talking about Green. Green, it was Charlie had a really good episode. I honestly think everybody on Green had a good episode with the exception of Tim. I think Tim.
And Mariah was a little bad.
Mariah's was a little, I don't know if they're setting her up to be, I'm trying to figure out if Mariah or if Liz are being set up to be the Emily Flippin of this season. And the other one I feel like is going to go out where Emily Flippin probably should have gone out.
Which Aubrey are they? Are they going to be Edge of Extinction Aubrey or Cal Wrong Aubrey?
Exactly. I agree with that. So I wanted to kind of save this because there really was nothing but vibes on this tribe. That is really what the conversation was about. So let's talk about the two major twists in this episode. So first, let's talk about the reward at the beginning. Nami won. Green finished second. So they get the decision to pick whether or not they do Savvy or they do Sweat. They choose Savvy. Meaning the other team does Sweat. I think the logic there made sense because you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, okay, we'll do the one that's going to be shorter. At least we don't wear ourselves down. At least we're not away from our tribe as much. Ben raises his hand and he says, I am ready to take this challenge on. Charlie does it with him. They don't figure it out. One, do you think anybody's figuring that out in the short amount of time that it's there? Two, how telling do you think it was that the tribe wasn't really pissed at Charlie or Ben at all for stepping up, unlike what we saw with Jelinski and Q over on the Purple Tribe?
I think as soon as they said go and there wasn't an envelope explaining what to do, I go, who gets this right? Like, yes, when you are,
I think it was too hard, honestly.
Oh my God. Yeah. And when you're like, oh, I own an escape room. So now I think about escape rooms my entire life. Like, you can do whatever challenge possible or whatever puzzle, but there's no way somebody goes, and now let's take the remaining thing. And I'm sure what happens when you dig, does it tell you the numbers of like what order to put the numbers in? Or does it just tell you the number? It was just a thing of that's too savvy. That's like, it's not a savvy challenge. It's a mind read challenge. And like, I'm sure, I don't know if they told them 5 minutes later, like a producer goes, oh, you should have checked the missing pieces. And if they had italicized missing, it's fair. If they had underlined missing, it's fair. Completely understand why they do that. I don't think you can go, you're so excited to watch play Survivor for the first time. You're covered in mud. You have 30 seconds. Make sure you do something that would take you 3 hours to wrap your head around. And one thing that I think is funny is like, why put a time limit on either Savvy or Strength? Like, have these people go absolutely mind-bogglingly crazy about Savvy. Instead of like, well, our time's up, I guess we'll have to stop. Like, have them personally weigh the option of like, should I keep going this? Because I want to provide for my tribe, but I don't want to miss out on more times. And now we're talking about the differences between the reactions. I think it was, well, we did our best and there was no way we could do it and nobody else really wanted to. And I think it was we all looked at each other and no one really wanted to. So I guess we'll go. Instead of Jelinski, I will be the one who saves this. I can do this. And then being told he's the one who quit first 32 seconds in to a 5 hour thing is kind of.
I think it was an hour and a half, but still.
It felt like 30 seconds. I mean,
I'm sure on TV it was 30 seconds. But I'm
pretty, I was watching it 8.5 speed, it was 30 seconds.
I mean, I think that it also shows kind of where the tribes are at with each other, right? There didn't seem to be much suspicion around Ben or Charlie for what they did over on the Green Tribe when they couldn't figure this out. And it just seemed like, I wonder what, like how much of the Jelinski throwing the hourglass was planned or like, awful. You know, if Q was talked about awful. At all, but
I think that's why the editors dogpiled him. I'm sure breaking a prop and making that beach be a hazard to not only your fellow contestants, but cameramen and future turtles. Like those that glass had to have been cleaned up immediately, or for the next 30 days, don't go step in that thing because you could lacerate your foot because somebody can't hold their temper for 5 seconds.
I will say though, great visual.
Right. But it is like, what's more important? good TV or safety for everyone. And like that's going to get weighed every day for the rest of the Survivor franchise. But that was a kind of like, bro, what? Don't throw broken glass into, and obviously that's what's going to happen when you throw it.
Yeah.
He broke the hourglass. That's so smart, Jake. Holy crap.
It's great. I mean, I like that he broke the hourglass. I don't know if he should have done it in that way, but I like that he broke the hourglass.
Usually you get immunity when you do that.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. Also, it's 2 a.m. here on the East Coast, and I'm still podcasting. So if you're still watching this, please like this video, please. Like, I'm up at 2 a.m. What more?
Dude, I love the guilds. Hopefully,
I'm a man, right? Here I am. I'm here.
Fan base is Catholic, and this works.
Alexa and I never talked about liking or subscribing, and then Peridium yelled at us a couple weeks ago and said, you need to tell people to like and subscribe. So here I am being a desperate, pathetic person.
Share
saying,
to your RSS please, feed, please. Too.
What'd you say?
Share to your RSS feed. I feel like that's a thing that people use.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know what that means. We'll get there. We're taking baby steps to get up there. All right, let's talk about the real big twist here. They go on a journey. We see the journey. So we have another journey. Journeys are back. That's fine. What did you think about the game that they proceeded to play where one person is trying to figure out? So in this game, two people are going to gain extra votes and one person is going to lose, or two people are going to lose votes and one person is going to gain an extra vote. One person ends up, and I'm explaining this for anybody who was, you know, half watching or, you know, drunk watching, who knows. Right. But in this game, there's three options. Everybody picks a random card. One is a skull. One is a vote, and one is a torch. Now, if you get the torch, you need to figure out which person has the vote. If you figure out which person has the vote, you both get an extra vote. If
this is
you
supposed to take one sentence, why is this so hard, Survivor? Just do something easy, please.
If you end up picking the wrong person, you pick the person with the skull, you lose your vote, the other person loses their vote, and the person with the skull gets an extra vote. What did you think about the way that this played out? And do you think that Jelinski was screwed from the start? Or do you think it was the circumstance that he's the youngest person on the cast and he was kind of in over his head and Maria hit him with Maria? And look, I know that like she doesn't want the mom thing to be her whole thing. She hit him hard with the mom guilt trip there. Kind of like what I need Maria to come on here and tell people to subscribe to the channel and like this video. Because
Maria,
man,
went like this to Jelinski, and Jelinski said, I don't think I can breathe for a second, so I better get to breathing again. I think it is you're talking on your chair. You're talking on your couch. I'm sure if you were put in that same scenario, you'd crinkle too. But like, you can only rely on yourself. There's not, like, Jelinski was playing for day 35, and there's only 26 days on this season. And who cares about meeting these people 15 days from now and having a vote that you help them with? You need to get through day 3. And your vote is the most important thing to you. Lie, 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 so you can keep your vote. And as soon as you're like, Tevin wasn't doing a good job. Tevin was doing some weird ass shit where he was like, and it wouldn't have been so easy to be like, how are you believing this? Like, I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but I don't know what his strategy was of like, and like, we've seen this get played out on multiple TV shows, maybe some movies of like, and he literally does the dumbest thing you can do to start off with. He starts by saying, trust me, you can trust me, I have the vote card. And anytime someone ever says the words, you can trust me, if you're telling the truth, you don't have to say the words, don't worry, you can trust me. Like, you're almost trying to convince yourself. Maybe it's subconscious. Maybe he's just that bad at everything. But it was an interesting thing of Tevin was opening the door for Jelinski, and Jelinski was like, let me go ahead and shut this as hard as possible.
I don't want that door. Thank you, but no thank you.
And so Maria looks like a genius, but I think she was playing with, like, Tevin's going to be good at a lot of things. I don't think he was very good at that, but Maria looks like an absolute genius because she does say, I'm in the power position. We want two extra votes. Tell me whose you are right now, and let's use these votes together in the future. And I think that is, like I said earlier, probably going to be the way that everyone plays that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I wonder if I wonder if we'll end up seeing this twist again at all. I actually do think it creates an interesting dynamic because it creates a situation where two people should lie. And I think if it was anybody other than Jelinski, I think they probably would have pushed much harder. You heard when, again, I'm going back to Kenzie because Kenzie is kind of going against type for what I thought Kenzie was going to be. Kenzie's the Twitter fan favorite. She's the Instagram fan favorite. She's got all the tattoos. She's a hairstylist. Like she's the this interesting
is crazy. She has a,
dude, it's crazy.
She has some scissors behind her ear. So she remembers to cut people. Don't cut people's ears off or something.
Don't cut their ears off. But like Kenzie is a really interesting casting choice. And a lot of people are really loving her because she's great with sound bites. She's got giving Carolyn vibes. She's got all that going on. Right. But Kenzie was the one who immediately was like, what do you mean you folded that fast? What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? And I love this. Like, I'm coming out of this first episode. I knew Kenzie was going to be a fan favorite as soon as her first 1 minute video from CBS dropped. I knew she was going to be a fan favorite. I was all in on Kenzie as just a player, a person, whatever.
Great job.
And then she's talking when she gets on Twitter and she starts tweeting. I said, okay, she's going to be a fan favorite. But I never expected her to have the game she has. And as soon as Jelinski came back to camp and it's Kenzie who is just like, here's a shovel and I'm going to start digging a hole and you can just lay down inside of it and you goodbye. That's not what I expected. Jelinski's
like, I'll pour the dirt on top of me. You guys don't have to do anything. I know this will make this better for all of us. So I'll dump the dirt on myself. And Jess is like, thank God. Cause I don't remember how to dump dirt on anybody.
I'm scared to dump dirt on myself because of how I am. I really, really, really watching this and listening to this and doing like, and seeing this, I think Jelinski played two extremes at the same time. He wanted to play really aggressive. I love the sound bites. I'm Jelinski. I'm a legend. Great. Bradley Plyhy played A+ Survivor, and he's one of my favorite people in the entire community. I love that shit. I will never, ever, ever personally attack somebody for whatever the hell they're doing on the game of Survivor. I don't care. I think it's great. You're on TV. Eat up your moment, dude. Right. Do what you got to do.
It is what it is. I'd be doing
you're
going
to remember. No matter how much the internet wants to tell you that Chelsea from Ghost Island is memorable, she is not. Go out there, ham it up, get your 15 minutes. You earned that. You got cast on this damn show. Good for you. But he wanted to play the aggressive, cocky young guy, and he wanted to play the I don't want to ruffle feathers. And you can't do both of those things at the same time unless you're Brian Heidick and you remember that you're supposed to not ruffle feathers to people and you're supposed to be the cocky asshole to the camera. And Jelinski felt like he was trying to do both to everything and it just got way too mixed up. He's the best first boot since Zane for sure, at least from a personality perspective. And that was just – it was just a good time, man. And but I think –
Gonzalez?
No, I love Gonzalez. I like Maddie. I mean, I like these people, but I'm just saying, in terms of a personality, his personality was massive and I was all about it. But you saw Maria come out and say, all right, cocky 22-year-old guy, if you lie to me, I'm not going to like you anymore. And he was like, oh, crap. Now I can't be cocky 22-year-old guy. Now I got to be nice because Minivan Maria said this to me. I need to be so kind. And then it turns out where Minivan Maria is just like, idiot. Sucks to be you. Goodbye. And then Jelinski can't save himself. He can't even play his shot in the dark. Had he played his shot in the dark, he probably ends up staying in the game. Just kidding. He's not going to get that because it's 1-6 shot. I just wanted to say that.
I feel like in the new era, Jelinski's like the fourth or fifth person where Survivor has been my whole life. I love this stuff more than anything. And then is just awful at playing. And it's like, what is the disconnect for these people? Like,
you know what the disconnect for Jelinski is? This is true.
I don't.
You know what this is. Survivor's older than he is. He's rushing through this stuff. He's binging this stuff. He's never watched a season. He has watched probably, if he's 22 years old when this was filming, he probably watched one season of Survivor when he was legally able to go to a bar. That's why. And Jelinski's the monster, as Aiden Ruzicki says, and as he said. I think that's the problem. I think that is something we need to consider now when we start talking about Survivor players. Survivor is now older than some of these players. And that's going to impact the way they play the game because they don't know what this stuff is like.
And here's an analogy I made before in our Patreon. So this is a little clip of what you could see. Whenever you're an NBA player, a fan of the NBA, you go, Kobe Bryant is the greatest of all time. LeBron James is the greatest of all time. Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. And anybody over 55 will be like, well, you didn't get to see Magic Johnson play. You didn't get to see Clyde Drexler, Kareem. And you're like, I don't get that. I don't get how you could think somebody from the old era. It's a completely different game now. And this is a really fun analogy to keep going with of my favorite people that are unflappable are from Survivor seasons 1 through 16 and then get shown again on 20 because it's all from there. Those are my legends. Those are going to be my Rushmore forever. But people that have been watching through, maybe I'm a brand new fan through pandemic. I want to binge everything. Maybe I'm a new fan just because I need a new show to watch. I watch Big Brother in summers. What's going on the other times? And now your favorite players are going to be like doing stuff where you just don't understand, or like maybe your favorite player got held up by, oh, LeBron gets more whistles than anybody. And your favorite player got more idols than everybody. Or there's only one person that could play Russell's game and win, and it's not even Russell. So anybody that you're like idolizing from a new era, and we're arguing with you because we've been watching. I have been watching Survivor longer than Jelinski's been alive, which is a crazy thing to say. That doesn't make me smarter. That doesn't make me any. But like at a certain point, this experience, this like I have lived through watching this as a sophomore in high school, where Survivor has died and come back three different times through my lifespan. Of you still watch that show? It's still on. Yes, we just did Guatemala. Exile Island's coming on. I'm so excited. There's a new person named Suri. Now Suri's a legend that's untouchable. And I was there for that first season. Like Suri's gonna always be like, I would love to meet Suri. But like where I'm going with this is like, I don't think Jelinski can understand what we're saying about this. And this isn't always take advice from someone that's 20 years older than you. Always listen to people that are 20 years older than you. But it is kind of be aware of this, of if it's time for me to listen and not raise my hand. Like there's a reason why the other people that maybe have gone to more schooling, that have had more life experiences, aren't putting their full face into the bee's nest to start off. And you got bee bites all over, bee stings all over your face because you just went full forward and we'll just deal with it later, which makes sense when you're on an internship or starting a new thing. But when you get voted out every 3 days, you're going to go home very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like we could have, this is a totally different conversation, but it's always like when I might've had a conversation tonight about where does D sit as like an all-time winner, and it's how far back do you go before you start saying winners are better than her? The thing is, you could say, okay, we can go all the way back to season 30, but my biggest takeaway is, and it's not even, this isn't a D problem or anything, and this isn't anybody's fault, but it would be the same thing if I went and played Survivor tomorrow. Everybody always wants to be the best. But honestly, I think anybody post-winner or post-second chances, they're not going to end up on my Rushmore. They're not going to end up in my top five. They're not going to end up in my top 10, probably. Like, it's just hard to make that happen. There could be exceptions, but it's hard to make that happen because of everything you just said. So that's getting back to the Jelinski situation of, what's the disconnect? That's the disconnect. The disconnect is just he can watch every season of Survivor, but he's not understanding. He's watching it to get it done, right? Like, I'm in a book club. I read that book to finish the book. I'm not reading the book necessarily sitting there thinking about everything. If you read a short story collection, are you the type of person who reads a short story, puts it down, and thinks about it for 3 days? Or you just read it and put it down, or you just read it and go to the next one? That's how you're supposed to read a short story collection, but is that what you do? When you're watching Survivor, if you finish season one, start season two, finish season two, start season three, and you're not taking time to figure out what did Ethan do right that Lex did wrong? What did Big Tom do wrong? And now let's go all the way up to season 35 and say, what did Ben do right that ended up getting him the win over Chrissy, one of the most argued about endings of all time? you're actually thinking about that if you're not just turning on Ghost Island immediately after that. And then when you watch Ghost Island, don't just turn on Dave versus Goliath. You got to figure out what did Wendell do that ultimately earned him that win over Dom. And I think when you're binging, you can watch everything. You can see every twist. You can think you know everything. But at the end of the day, there is going to be a little something missing. And I don't know if Jelinski
like, you can't even Google that stuff. Like, yes. You can't even Google to go, I want to know why Laurel voted for this. You're watching it live, there's going to be 7 different interviews with Laurel from 7 different favorite podcasts you have. And then you can also go, well, of course she is because this is what the edit told me. Well, that's not real life. That's a show. But like, you could have listened to the podcast that week. You could have read some more articles. And I do like that book. What is it called? Book Club
when
Analogy? When it was worth playing for. I love that dude. He's one of my favorite dudes in the community. Mario Lanza is always, please pay attention to him. He is somebody I've paid attention to since I've been in high school. I won his Do You Want My Extra Burned Copies of Survivor. I won his giveaway when I was 18, and that was the final step of like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I think we did a sports analogy. We did a book club analogy. Let's do one more.
You're doing good.
Movies. When you're watching the Oscars, Oscar-nominated films, because you want to be ready for the Oscars, there's some you sought out organically because you really wanted to watch that movie. And then there's some you're watching for completion. And I'm sure whenever you are rooting for someone to win Best Picture, you're not going to root for one that you did for completion. You're going to root for one that you sought out organically because you wanted to see that movie and you have a better relationship with it. And so now where this goes for Survivor of there's people that are here to win money. There's people are here that are here to have a once in a lifetime experience. And there's people here that I want to be a legendary TV character. And the legendary TV character people will not become legendary TV characters because that's all they're worried about. And that's not what Sandra went on that beach to do. That's not what Parvati sat on that beach to do. They want to pick the bones of their teeth with these men or whatever. Not
they want to pick their teens with the bones of these men. Yes.
And it's just like I think that's something where that was hard work for those people, and it seems easy. And that is one thing with Jeff. I'm gonna go ahead and give him some credence too. Of like, it seems easier when you're watching from home, and I think it also seems easier to be a legend in this game when you're from home. And the only legend in the new era, in my opinion, is Dee. And that's why she gets to co-host that podcast, because Dee kicked everyone's ass last season. And I would love for someone to suit up and kick ass this season. And then we can get into that conversation of like, this is what a new era, really good player. And this is the new LeBron James of Survivor.
Yeah. All right, I got to wrap this thing up because it's 2:20 in the morning now and I have to go live my life. And I'm not going to lie that the few beverages I did have are starting to take that turn.
The hangover is already happening.
Yeah, you got to start to go to bed or life's going to be miserable very soon. So I'll end with this because, Blake, I don't know when we'll be able to have you back on. But for anybody who does follow the Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist, I'm sure we'll talk about this stuff when we do the casting perspective. Blake does the casting perspective with me, which is $10 patrons. He also does Every Season Matters with Will and I, which is $20 patrons. That comes out, twice a week. So we'll talk about it there. But I don't know when you're going to get back on the main channel. I don't know what's going to be going on with that.
Let's
I
ask you to send Will
me,
right now.
I ask you to send me schedules. You don't send me schedules. You don't even acknowledge the text.
I need it. It's not on the website yet. I forgot to tell you that earlier.
So anyway, who are you taking away as your winner pick coming out of this? Who, like, give me one or two people from each tribe. I don't need like one, but give me somebody from each tribe. And then give me who you think is toast. Like, who's not making the merge? Who's guaranteed not to make the merge from this bunch?
I think I'm going to step into the holes that the editors laid out for me. I'll do the traps. But I do think Tevin is going far. I think Randon is toast. Mm-hmm. That's orange. I think on purple... And this is going to just mirror a little bit, but like Tiffany earned it. So I'll give it to Tiffany. I think Banu is being shown to be a very emotional person. So instead of picking the easy Jess, I think Banu is going to be chewed up and spit out by the emotional damage that takes the toll of I voted Jelinski when I said I wasn't going to it now. And like,
it's going to be very similar, like, to what happened to Deontay and the Traders. I feel like eventually it's just going to, where he's going to say, he's not going to quit, but he's just going to say, I can't do this anymore.
And some people are in it for the journey. And I think he's a journey person, but some people want to vote bitches out. And that's not Banu. Yeah. And that's going to rack his brain and be negative. Green Tribe. I don't want to say Charlie because I haven't connected with Charlie yet. I'm waiting for one where I go, oh, that's why you would root for him. Who's the guys? Tim, not quite.
And then Ben
wasn't that great. So I'm going to do women. I think I really liked Maria. I did not expect that. And I'm a big fan of Maria. I know there's a little bit.
What about Tim Gupdar here? Charlie's Angels. It's the women plus Charlie.
And that's not a Charlie didn't say that. So I can't connect. Like, Charlie's getting looped in that because he has a really cool name. And wouldn't it be cool for another 1970s TV show? I know Archie Griffith is like 1954.
Wait, there was a show before the Charlie, the whatever name is movie?
Yeah, thank God.
Why was I going to say Charlize Theron? But what about me? It's not her.
Lucy Liu.
Cameron Diaz, thank you. Yeah, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu in the third.
I think the winners, I'm going to go, I said Maria and Jim. Jim was held serve. And I think the person who's going home is Tim. It does not look good for Tim or Mariah. That's like everybody on Green, but good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, but Green, I feel like, was who we got the least with. I'm going to be honest, man. Like, I really like Ben Standing because if they're naming that, like, the Vibe Tribe, and that's what they're going to go with, the Vibe Tribe, he's the one who was being, we were being told by everybody else that he's the vibe guy. He's the one who's just kind of the guy who's lifting everybody up. So I think that'll be good for him in the long run. I don't think the winner is going to come from Green. That's what I kind of got for, and based on your answer there too, it kind of seems like you agree where it's harder to figure out who would be the winner from that tribe.
And one way we used to do Edgic, no spoilers, nothing. I don't do that anymore. That's an old Blake. The only person that I heard have a $1 million winning line, like my friend, I'm not friends with Richard House. The person who won season one goes, write the $1 million check for me already. And then he won. And then the only person who had a clear confessional like that was Jem. And I did not expect that. So I'm interested, if you care about this from an editing perspective, to see Jem's story through the early game.
Jem's was great. Jem really had one there. So I like Ben. I think Tim is definitely the one in the most trouble. I think Tim and Randon are definitely the two who are in the most trouble coming up. I'm sure there'll be some twists and turns that come up that change that. I like Hunter and
Maybe
Tevin,
but
I'm
actually... Swap.
Yeah, but I'm actually saying that, imagine Tim goes home because of the swap, like I said in that video, and then everybody thinks I'm spoiled, even though I had Jelinski finishing like 10th or something. I'm going to go with Venus over there as serious potential for a win. I think that there is some merit to that. And I think Purple, I'm sticking with Tiff. Tiffany had a great episode. Tiffany was my winner pick preseason. I'm feeling good about Tiffany. I need her to not win because if I go D and Tiffany back to back, people are going to start to scratch their heads and look at me funny. But look, I picked D because she was from Miami. I picked Tiffany because I actually felt like she could win this game based on the little bit of information I had and didn't have big connections with people here. So I like Tiffany. I think she had a great episode. So that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're still listening, like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you become a top tier patron, you missed our fantasy game. However, you can play in our power rankings game. That'll start this week. As we said on Sunday, I will be back at 1 p.m. Eastern time with Cassidy Clark from Survivor 43. Will be back with me on that episode as far as I know. So it should be the three of us, myself, Will, and Cassidy. That will be a lot of fun. Blake's been demoted. He did a great job. That means get the hell out. We don't have time for you. He is Ryan Seacrest Jr. from American Idol Season 1. Blake, you know his name, so just say it.
Ryan Dunkelman or Brian Dunkelman.
Yeah, okay, that guy. He's out. That's Blake. He's done. But think about becoming a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you are listening to this on iTunes or Spotify or anywhere else, please give us high ratings over there so that we keep staying in the algorithms. I'm really learning. After Alexa left, I said, man, if people are going to keep listening to me, I got to figure out a way to make this interesting and keep everybody on their toes. And I got to put a little bit more work in because I know a lot of you were listening because of Alexa, which is great. I'm glad you're still here if you're here. But I really learned, man, we got to work that algorithm because we didn't work it worth shit after season 40. So here we are. We're back. I'm trying to take this a little bit more seriously because I want you all to listen and I enjoy doing this. That's why we've done about 7,000 podcasts in the last 2 months. So if you haven't checked out any of our other shows, go check it out. Will and I will be back with the traders tomorrow night. And then hopefully I take a 2-day break.
Deep breath, Phil. Holy crap.
Yeah, I don't talk about anything until Sunday. Dude, I got to finish this. It's almost 2:30 in the morning. I can't believe I'm still awake. Thank you all so much. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you liked Blake, leave some comments. Let me know. Let him know how he could improve, how he could get worse. Maybe he's too good. Maybe you think
replace
he's showing me up. Doesn't
Phil
matter.
And yeah. Will. Blake
yeah, exactly.
Podcast, the Survivor Specialist.
Yes. Just run by Blake. He's doing it all. But thank you all so much. For those of you who stayed up with us, I really appreciate it. I know this was not ideal. This will not be the case the entire season. So this was just a premiere thing. We'll see you later.